you like to discover the Brand Protection Blueprint? Matthew Fornaro will tell us how to do this. And what's so special about Matthew Fornaro is that he has been a business law attorney serving South Florida, including Coral Springs and Parkland, since 2003. And before starting his law firm, he was an attorney at two prestigious law firms focusing on civil litigation. And Matthew practices complex commercial litigation, including contract disputes. And he's a member of the Florida Bar and District of Columbia Bar. Also practices construction law, intellectual property law, a homeowner and condo association representation and drafts, and revises business documents, including the formation of business organizations. So Matthew, tell us more about the Brand Protection Blueprint. What is the intellectual property of a brand?
Welcome to Awakened Titans Podcast with Lily Patrescu. Mind-blowing conversations with influential business titans sharing how you can manifest abundance, love, joy, success through quantum awakening, quantum manifestation, quantum healing, quantum miracles, exponential business growth, and innovative products and services.
Sure. So thanks for having me, Lily. You know, the foundation for most businesses, or many businesses, I should say, is their brand, like their identity, their logo, their name, their theme, what they've got going on, things like that. So obviously, even though it's some of it's intangible property, not necessarily tangible property, you still want to protect it. And as part of that, protecting that brand, you want to make sure that you utilize the law to your advantage, and you want to make sure you do things like register trademarks, register copyrights, make sure you always consistently use and protect your brand, have contracts to protect your relationships with others when they use your brand or when they use your name in commerce and things like that. And that's kind of how the brand protection starts off.
Thank you. Tell me what happens if someone doesn't trademark their brand. What can possibly go wrong?
Sure. So if you have like a brand, you know, and we all know great brands like Disney or Coca-Cola, things like that, they all have their brands trademarked. So if you don't trademark your brand, you're missing out on the main point of protection of your brand, and you're going to have problems because other people can come in and use your brand, and your rights to prevent them from doing so or enforcing things related to it are kind of curtailed because you haven't registered your trademark or your copyright, and your brand is at stake and it's not as protected as it should be.
Thank you. Now, imagine someone is running their business for 20 years and hasn't done any sort of trademark on their business. Can a newcomer register a trademark on that name? And then is it that GoDaddy or whatever domain provider that person is using, the initial one that has been running for 20 years, will they have to relinquish their domain to the new person who has recently registered this trademark?
You know, the classic attorney answer, it depends. The issue is if you've been in business for like 20 years and you have like a brand or a name that you've been using or a logo or whatever, and then someone comes along you know, contemporaneously and then goes to register it or whatever, the problem is that for the original person who's been sitting on their rights for 20 years is that they never did anything to enforce their rights. So you have the new, you know, the new brand holder or whatever you want to say that's going to come in and try to register. The issue that they're going to have is that when they try to register like the trademark or when they try to register the copyright, they have to disclose, or they should disclose, that it's been in use by someone else for like 20 years. And that's going to prove a problem for them to, you know, get a registration themselves. So it doesn't mean it's impossible. It just means it's going to be hard because they're going to say, well, this other company was around for, you know, 20 years already using this brand. What are you doing here now? So, you know, it's kind of an intermingled issue where there's problems on both sides. You know, the internet component or the website component is kind of a little bit tricky because essentially the internet is, or the websites, I should say, like GoDaddy and stuff, are subject to a International Trade Association called ICANN, which registers and regulates domain names. So that's separate from, you know, like the United States government, who registers trademarks and copyrights. So they necessarily don't really have to do anything absent a court order. So they have their own terms and guidelines that they follow as far as the domain names. And it depends on what happens or what the status of certain things are regarding, the new brand trying to come in and either take over a website or register a new website, if it's already registered with someone else, or if all things similar are registered with someone else and they're trying to use like a derivative name. So it depends on what ICANN says. And there's a whole ICANN dispute process and a whole thing that's not really judicial. It's kind of like a private regulatory thing, which is its own entity and its own thing. So it's very complicated, very complex, but there definitely is an interplay between the brand, the trademark, the copyright, and the website. But they're all kind of a little bit disconnected based on the fact that one of them is, you know, based on a private entity and private industry, and the other two are regulated by the government.
Thank you. Now, imagine the same scenario where a brand has been running only for 1 year, and then a new brand wants to register that same name, and the first company hasn't trademarked it. Will it be easier for the second company to kind of grab hold of that particular brand name?
It'll probably be easier. You know, it's a little bit of the same situation as I described, but it'll be a little bit easier because the first company isn't as widely well known, assuming, as the 20-year veteran would be. So it would probably be easier for the new company to come in and try to register stuff. Again, it depends on what the original company's been doing. The original company may have a massive web presence or marketing campaign or something where they're name and their logo and their brand is all over the place, and the prior example, like the 20-year company, may just be, you know, a storefront in a little town somewhere where nobody knows about it. So if they're not that widespread and they're not really huge in commerce yet, then it'll probably be easier for the newer company to come in and try to do something.
Thank you. Tell us, what are the worst case scenarios that you've seen in terms of not protecting your brand? And tell us like some case studies, three case studies of what happened actually, and how did the company owners suffer from not protecting their brand?
Sure. So, I mean, it happens all the time. There's tons of examples. I mean, you know, that's the kind of stuff you learn about in law school, where a company, you know, starts up and goes into business and doesn't really protect their brand. And then another company comes along and, you know, maybe takes the goodwill of that brand or takes the sweat equity or whatever from that brand and kind of appropriates it then for themselves. And then they go and they register and use that brand. And then the original company is kind of displaced. So the problem is that people who actually come up with the brand or the logo or the name, you know, are kind of, don't have the rights to use their own brand, logo, or name because someone else was smarter and used more due diligence and came in later on and registered the brand or registered the trademark or registered the copyright. And now, even though the other brand came first, the second brand has the rights to, you know, the brand, the name, the image, everything. And they're kind of out of luck and they got to change their logo, change their name, change their thing. And it happens all the time with people who are companies who don't use due diligence and protect their brands.
Thank you. Tell me, under what terms this kind of thing can happen? Like, for example.
Sure. I mean, you know, you're in a, you know, like a hot space like technology or AI or something like that, let's say, you know, something contemporary, and you come up with, you know, a pretty good brand, and, you know, you don't really have the budget or the wherewithal to, you know, do intellectual property protection at the time because you're invested elsewhere, and then someone else comes in with more money and appropriates your idea or expands on your idea, and maybe they do have the bankroll or the budget to enforce their intellectual property rights. So then they'll come in and swoop in, and it's now they'll take over the brand essentially, or take over the logo, or take over the name, or try to take over the website. And it, unfortunately, it happens all the time. There's a lot of people who are a lot more due diligent, a lot more savvy, and have a lot deeper pockets, who take advantage of people who are maybe first-time business owners or unsophisticated or don't have the budget to protect their intellectual property.
Thank you. So in a case like this, could someone actually, let's say you have a website like make.com, I'm not saying not that kind of caliber, but let's say something like that, where you have, 10,000, 100,000 subscribers, could a brand new company who has recently trademarked the name that you initially had, could they come in and they could basically take over that particular brand name website and therefore have the subscribers too? Is that how it would work?
It could. It would not necessarily happen that way, but it could. Like I said earlier before with the ICANN thing, the new company could come in and say, look, I have this trademark, or I have this brand, I have this name I've been using. This other company doesn't have a trademark or doesn't have a copyright or, hasn't registered or hasn't done whatever. So please transfer the website to me. And, it could happen. That could be a good case for them transferring the website to the new company, because they're the ones with all the legal rights, because they came in with the due diligence and protected their legal rights from the other company and was just, didn't do it.
Thank you. For books, for example, if I was to use a brand that, let's say, isn't currently registered, but I do think it could be, is there any danger in actually using that as a book title?
No, just be aware that you're going to put the name out there or the brand out there or whatever, and that it's going to be exposed to the public, and people may pick up on it or appropriate it or do whatever. So, in theory, there's no direct harm by doing it, but the problem is you're putting the name or you're putting the brand or the logo out there so people can appropriate it if you don't protect it.
Thank you. So for example, like I bought for my mother, before I realized actually SlimFast was a brand, I bought slimfastcoach.com. Okay. And I thought, wow, that's a really good name. And then we discovered that actually SlimFast is a recognized brand for slimming. And people were contacting her all the time to ask for certain powders to lose weight, and she's totally against it. So it was like a big failure on so many different levels. But it's a really high search term in Google, and I thought that's really perfect. So basically, let's say the company SlimFast could come and say, actually, if this was to become a great website with, tens of thousands of subscribers, they could come and say, relinquish slimfastcoach.com because we own SlimFast. Is that how it works?
Yeah, that's precisely how it would happen. And then they'd have, evidence and examples of actual confusion of people contacting, your mom's website or your mom thinking that it's the SlimFast and it's really not. And that goes towards the original brand holder or trademark holder's image and goodwill, and that constitutes the damages against them, because those are all prospective clients or customers who would have gone to SlimFast if not for SlimFast Coach's website.
Okay, that is very interesting. Okay, so when should a founder start thinking about their IP? Imagine they don't have any funds to protect their brand. What can someone do to protect brand without funds?
Well, you want to make sure that, you document everything very well and make sure that you show when you created your brand, and you're able to show a third party when you created your brand and when you first started using your brand in commerce and that you've been using it in commerce, and that, you know, you registered a website, and that you registered a business name somewhere, and things like that, so that if and when someone does try to challenge you, you at least have that to fall back on. And then obviously, you know, you want to make sure as part of your business plan that you have, that you budget money toward protecting your intellectual property at some point, so that you can, you know, protect that brand. But until you can, like I said, just use your due diligence and try your best.
Thank you. Is it required to have a website for that particular brand? Because, you know, like someone like me who is a creative could come up with like so many, like hundreds of different names for brands that could all be perfect for branding. And it doesn't seem feasible for me to like create a website for every single brand that I'm coming up with. But do you think it's required to have actually a business name that is equivalent to the name of the brand?
It helps. It makes it a lot more easier to not only, you know, get your name around and do things, but it's also easier to enforce when you have a strong brand that's also a company name. You know, and you can think of strong brands that are the company name, you know, like some of the examples I mentioned earlier. So it's beneficial. It doesn't hurt to do that.
Thank you. How does the brand know whether it needs a trademark, copyright, or patent?
All right. So patent is easy to figure out. Patent is like an invention. So unless you've invented something, a device, a process, or something, you don't need a patent. So copyright and trademark are a little bit closer. You know, a trademark is a symbol, a word, some kind of indicia of a business or something like that, a slogan, something like that, that you can use in business that you would register as a trademark and you would seek to enforce. A copyright could also be something that's trademarked as well, but that is a, thing that was an idea or was something that was then made into a tangible medium that is then, put forward. So for instance, like if you write a story, you can copyright the story, or if you, draw something, you can copyright the drawing. But if you want, you can also take the drawing, if it's distinctive enough and different enough, and also seek to trademark it. But you can't seek to trademark the story, because that's not the kind of thing that's trademarkable. So there's a little bit of overlap. It's a little bit of confusing. One of the things, at least in the U.S., is that everything, once it's created and fixed in a tangible medium, is automatically has a common law copyright, which means you don't have to do anything. It's considered copyrighted the second it's created, but it's problematic because you need to be able to enforce that copyright. So that's why you still want to register it. But with trademarks, unless you register the trademark, you don't have a trademark.
Thank you. What mistakes do people make when filing trademarks? Because I remember many years ago, I tried to register speakers or leaders as a trademark, and it didn't work. And the reason they gave me was because it's like something very common that people say. And I wasn't sure what to do, because, I mean, I filed it myself, and I wasn't sure what to do to make this work, because I really wanted to trademark that.
Yeah. You know, obviously, just like with anything involving something legal or something oriented like that, you want to have a professional help you. You don't want to do it yourself if you don't have to. And I highly recommend not trying to copyright or trademark something yourself. Bring in a professional. The best thing would be is to have a attorney who focuses on like intellectual property law help you. If that's not in your budget or you can't do it, at a minimum, go to a site like LegalZoom or Rocket Lawyer or something, where it's like a site where you can do things like that, and go through them to help you out. It's much less expensive, but it's better than doing it on your own. And, you know, that would be my advice, is don't do it yourself. Rely on the professionals. If possible, have an attorney do it. If you can't afford an attorney, have a service help you. And if you can't afford a service to help you, you may want to think about doing something else.
Thank you. What can you do when you discover someone is infringing on your IP?
Sure. So if you registered your IP, you have lots of options available to you. Obviously, you know, you can send out a demand letter and do a bunch of things to see if they voluntarily comply or take down their IP or do whatever. But if not, you're allowed to file a lawsuit. Here in Florida, where I am, you can file a, we have state trademarks, not just federal trademarks. If you have a state trademark, you could file in state court. But if you have a federal trademark or a federal copyright, you can file in federal court and seek to enforce your trademark or copyright rights and seek damages against the other side and, you know, money damages for however you're harmed, and also seek injunctive relief, which is a court order which tells them to stop using your intellectual property, which, you know, most of the time that's the cure.
Thank you. I would assume that kind of thing, like filing a lawsuit and actually going through with it, would be incredibly expensive. What can you do to avoid that, knowing that perhaps you can't afford to get someone to court, and at the same time, you can't afford to let them continue?
Sure. So again, you want to use as much due diligence as possible prior to having to get involved in a lawsuit. So you would want to try to register all your intellectual property beforehand to avoid a lawsuit, because that way it's out there and people know that you have a trademark, you have a copyright, or you have a brand, and they don't try to infringe on it. But if they do infringe, I mean, you can, like I said, have your attorney or yourself, if you want, send out a demand letter and see if that helps. Sometimes demand letters don't work, though. So you may have to file a lawsuit, unfortunately, and it may come to that.
Thank you. What can creators do to protect their brand and their content online?
Sure. So, you know, it's the same with any other brand or any other content, whether it's online or offline. You want to register your copyrightable and trademarkable things. You want to make sure that you clearly disclaim that you're the owner of everything. You want to make sure that you don't, you know, just willy-nilly hand out your content to people. You want to make sure you have controls over it to show that you consider it like a, you know, a valuable piece of property or a valuable resource, and that you, you know, it has monetary value to you, and that you want to be in control of it, and you want to make sure that other people know that, so they just don't appropriate it from you.
Thank you. What's the smartest way to defend your IP without spending a fortune?
Just use due diligence. Like I said, make sure you keep good records of everything. Make sure you you know, indicate when you use things, when you created things, how you created things. You know, again, I know you're budget conscious or whatever, but you want to try to register that stuff as soon as you can. Again, whether it's with an attorney or through a service or whatever, but until you get to that point, just make sure you're very careful with your intellectual property. You use due diligence. You make sure that you try to protect it. You make sure that you don't, you know, let people use it for free or just hand it out or do whatever. And you just want to try to maintain as much control as possible over it.
Thank you. How does strong IP protection increase brand value?
Sure, because the brand itself has an innate intangible value to it on its own, separate from, you know, the equity in a business or whatever. So you want to make sure that you protect it by having it registered and by making sure people don't appropriate it and things like that. And by having a protected brand, your brand is stronger because it's, you know, it's enforced and people aren't going to take it, so that it's unique. And by being unique, it is going to be more valuable and create, you know, more value to you for your company.
Thank you. Can not protecting your IP make a business uninvestable?
It could. It definitely hurts your bottom line and hurts investors, because if you have a bunch of content that's unprotected, then what are they investing in? Because they can just go appropriate your content and use it themselves for free. So yes, it could make it, you know, very financially perilous or uninvestable.
Thank you. How can creators license their IP to create passive income?
Sure. So licensing is essentially a contractual matter. So you would have a contract between you, the licensor, and the person who you let use your intellectual property, the licensee, and you make sure the contract's very thorough and very detailed and has all the things that are required in it to say who does what, when, where, why, and how you receive money, how they use your brand or your mark, your copyright. And then, you know, that's it, pretty simple. I mean, it's a contract. You make sure you you have the other side enter into the contract, and you just enforce the contract.
Thank you. What can a brand do to become uncopyable?
It can be as unique and as innovative as possible to try to make it, I won't say impossible, but make it very hard to copy it without it being obvious that someone's copying you.
Thank you. Are any of the AI artwork considered copyright free, or does it contain copyright? So imagine I go to ChatGPT and I create some images with my prompt. Does whatever I create, is it considered mine, or is it considered like it doesn't belong to basically anyone?
It's interesting you ask that. That's a developing area of law that's kind of on the cutting edge right now. For the most part, the law only recognizes, for lack of a better term, a human creator. So only a human can, you know, create something that needs to be copyrighted, or only a human can create something that needs to be trademarked or patented. So as we sit here right now, for the most part, it's a person's right, not a thing's right. So the person can transfer the right later on to, like, you know, assign a trademark to a company, or assign a copyright to a company, or the company can copyright something that the person made up with. But for AI generated things, because the AI is not a person, the stuff that the AI generates generally isn't considered subject to intellectual property protection.
Thank you. Imagine I write a book where I include some artwork and some text that was written by AI. What happens then? Basically, the content that I personally wrote is copyright protected, and then the content that was included, that was like images and so on, is not. Is that how it is?
That's an interesting question. Again, it's probably a hybrid answer. So probably yes, your original works that you created, that you thought of yourself, would be protected, but the stuff that the AI came up with would not be protected.
Thank you. That means that basically, let's say I could create a very successful book with some amazing artistic images that AI generated with my prompt. And then someone could come in and copy all of those into their own book and republish the book with a different name, and there would be no problem.
It could be. And again, that's something that, you know, the law is dealing with right now and is trying to catch up with the answer to that, because obviously that wasn't even a hypothetical question a few years ago, and now it's something that can happen all the time. So the answer is, again, it depends. You would claim that you have ownership over everything in that book. They would claim that you don't have ownership over the AI derivative stuff. And somewhere in between is where reality lies. And that's on the cutting edge of law. That's still undecided as of right now.
What? Thank you. What else should entrepreneurs consider when it comes to their brand protection blueprint that we haven't already discussed?
Just to make sure that we touch on this a little bit, in addition to the traditional trademark, patent, copyright, make sure that, again, you use due diligence over your brands. You don't, you know, let people appropriate them or do anything like that. You want to make sure that you have contracts in place for everyone who uses your brand, whether it's not even just a licensee, but maybe someone who sells a product that has your brand on it or something that's not a licensee. And make sure you just exercise control over your brand and make sure that everyone knows you're the owner, the brand has value to you, and that you're willing to protect that brand and that value to you.
Thank you. Is there anything you need to do in terms of the brand protection blueprint when you're working with affiliates? Is there anything in particular you should include in the contract with potential affiliates?
Yes, you want to make sure that it completely specifies who owns the works that are created. So if you're hiring people to do stuff and you want the rights to what they create, you want to specifically put in the contract that you have the rights to everything they create, and make sure that it's expressly spelled out in your contract.
Thank you. What do most entrepreneurs forget about when it comes to their brand protection blueprint?
I understand the financial component of not being able to copyright or trademark things. And that's probably one of the big things, is that they don't do that and they wind up having problems in the end. But one of the other things is they don't use due diligence, even if they do copyright or trademark their brand, and they just kind of let people use their logo or let people use their brand or, you know, let things out there. And that's a problem, because you want to make sure you have tight control over your brand and make sure that you have due diligence when you use your brand and when you license your brand and, you know, things like that.
Thank you. Tell us where entrepreneurs can connect with you for all of their legal problems.
Sure. So the best way to connect with me is on my website, which is fornarolegal.com. It's just my last name, fornarolegal.com. And it has all my contact info on there, all my social media, all my blogs, all my videos, all my posts, and it's got a lot of information that answers a lot of your questions. And then if not, just email me or call me.
Thank you.
Follow us for more interviews with world's most influential business titans, providing you with the insights to awaken to your full potential so you can get paid to be yourself, find true happiness, and manifest anything you desire.